turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 9. This evening we'll be reading 1 Samuel chapter 9, and we'll read through chapter 10, verse 16. First Samuel 9, and we'll start in verse 1. Know that this is the word of the Lord. Now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Becherath, the son of Aphia, the son of Benjamite, a mighty man of valor. He had a son whose name was Saul, a choice and handsome man, and there was not a more handsome person than he among the sons of Israel. From his shoulders and up, he was taller than any of the people. Now the donkeys of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. So Kish said to his son Saul, "Take now with you one of the servants and arise, go search for the donkeys." He passed to the hill country of Ephraim and passed to the land of Shalisha, but they did not find them. Then they passed to the land of Shalim, but they were not there. Then he passed to the land of the Benjamites, but they did not find them. When they came to the land of Zuph, Saul said to his servant who was with him, "Come, and let us return, or else my father will cease to be concerned about the donkeys and will become anxious for us." He said to him, "Behold, now there is a man of God in this city, and the man is held in honor. All that he says surely comes true. Now let us go there. Perhaps he can tell us about our journey on which we have set out." Then Saul said to his servant, "But behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread is gone from our sack, and there is no present to bring the man of God. What do we have?" The servant answered Saul again and said, "Behold, I have in my hand a fourth of a shekel of silver. I will give it to the man of God, and he will tell us our way." Formerly in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, he used to say, "Come, and let us go to the seer." For he who is called a prophet now was formerly called a seer. Then Saul said to his servant, "Well said, come, let us go." So they went to the city where the man of God was. As they went up the slope of the city, they found young women going out to draw water and said to them, "Is the seer here?" They answered them and said, "He is. See, he is ahead of you. Hurry now, for he has come into the city today. For the people have a sacrifice on the high place today. As soon as you enter the city, you'll find him before he goes up to the high place to eat, for the people will not eat until he comes, because he must bless the sacrifice. Afterward, those who are invited will eat. Now therefore, go up, for you will find him at once." And so they went up to the city. As they came out, they came into the city, behold, Samuel was coming out toward them to go up to the high place. Now a day before Saul's coming, the Lord had revealed this to Samuel, saying, "About this time tomorrow, I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin, and you shall anoint him to be prince over my people Israel, and he will deliver my people from the hand of the Philistines, for I have regarded my people, because their cry has come to me." When Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said to him, "Behold, the man of whom I spoke to you, this one, shall rule over my people." And Saul approached Samuel in the gate and said, "Please tell me where the seer's house is." Samuel answered Saul and said, "I am the seer. Go up before me to the high place, for you shall eat with me today. And in the morning I will let you go and will tell you all that is on your mind. As for your donkeys, which were lost 3 days ago, do not set your mind on them, for they have been found. And for whom is all that is desirable in Israel? Is it not for you and for all your father's household?" Saul replied, "Am I not a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel? My family, the least of all the families of the tribes of Benjamin. Why then do you speak to me in this way?" And Samuel took Saul and his servant and brought them into the hall and gave them a place at the head of those who were invited, who were about 30 men. Samuel said to the cook, "Bring the portion that I gave you concerning which I said to you, set it aside." And the cook took up the leg with what was on it and set it before Saul. And Samuel said, "Here is what has been reserved. Set it before you and eat, because it has been kept for you until the appointed time. since I said I have invited the people. So Saul ate with Samuel that day. When they came down from the high place into the city, Samuel spoke with Saul on the roof. And they arose early, and at daybreak Samuel called to Saul on the roof, saying, "Get up, that I may send you away." So Saul arose, and both he and Samuel went out into the street. As they were going down to the edge of the city, Samuel said to Saul, "Say to the servant that he might go ahead of us and pass on, but you remain standing now, that I may proclaim the word of God to you." Then Samuel took the flask of oil, poured it on his head, kissed him, and said, "Has not the Lord anointed you a ruler over his inheritance? When you go for me today, then you will find two men close to Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin at Zelzah. And they will say to you, 'The donkeys which you went to look for have been found. Now behold, your father has ceased to be concerned about the donkeys and is anxious for you, saying, "What shall I do about my son?" And then you will go on further from there, and you'll come as far as the oak of Tabor, and there three men going up to God at Bethel will meet you, one carrying three young goats, another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a jug of wine. And they will greet you and give you two loaves of bread, which you will accept from their hand. Afterward, you will come to the hill of God where the Philistine garrison is, and it shall be as soon as you have come there to the city that you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with the harp, tambourine, flute, and lyre before them, and they will be prophesying. Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you mightily, and you shall prophesy with them and be changed into another man. It shall be when these signs come to you, do for yourself what the occasion requires, for God is with you. And you shall go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down to you, or to offer burnt offerings and sacrifice peace offerings. You shall wait 7 days until I come to you and show you what you should do. And it happened when he turned his back to leave Samuel, God changed his heart, and all those signs came about on that day. When they came to the hill there, behold, a group of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came upon him mightily so that he prophesied among them. It came about when all who knew him previously saw that he prophesied now with the prophets that the people said to one another, "What has happened to the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets?" A man there said, "No, now, who is their father?" Therefore it became a proverb, "Is Saul also among the prophets?" When he had finished prophesying, he came to the high place. Now Saul's uncle said to him and his servant, "Where did you go?" And he said, "To look for the donkeys. When we saw that they could not be found, we went to Samuel." Saul's uncle said, "Please tell me what Samuel said to you." So Saul said to his uncle, "He told us plainly that the donkeys had been found." But he, that is Saul, did not tell him about the matter of the kingdom which Samuel had mentioned. Well, that is the word of our great God. We stated that we saw last week now that the focus is transitioning to the king who is to rule over Israel like the people wanted. And so here we have Yahweh bringing about that situation in a very peculiar way. And we see four things in this passage. First, we see God's providence. In chapter 9, we see God's providence. You see all the details of how the donkeys are lost. They've gone off. We don't know how. The word lost suggests that Kish himself doesn't even know where they have gone off. We don't know unless we acknowledge the providence of God. In this passage, it's clearly because Yahweh has, the donkeys are missing. They're gone. They're lost. Now, for Yahweh tells Samuel in verse 16 that the next day he would meet a man from Benjamin, Saul, who would be made king over Israel. And so Yahweh has caused the donkeys to be lost so that Saul would leave his home and then come to the place where Samuel is. Even to use that servant of Saul to push Saul towards Samuel in that city where he was at. And so it's Yahweh's providence that Saul comes to where Samuel is at and he is anointed king over Israel. And so the Lord brings that about. The second thing we see is assurance to Saul about this kingship. Chapter 10, Samuel anoints Saul as king in verse 1, and then he gives him a list of things that were going to happen. A very detailed list, of very specific list of things that were going to happen to Saul. And so the word that came to Samuel, it was from the Lord. It wasn't Samuel's own knowing what was going to happen. Samuel could not know outside of the Lord what was going to happen in this very detailed way. And so these are words of assurance from the Lord through Samuel to Saul. The first day he would meet two men near Rachel's tomb who will tell him that his donkeys had been found, that Kish, his father, is anxious about him now, not about the donkeys. Next, near the oak of Tabor, Saul will meet three men on their way, and he will, that they're on their way to worship, and they have materials to offer sacrifices, and they will give him some bread. And finally, when approaching Gibeah, Saul will encounter a group of prophets playing music, and Yahweh's Spirit will rush upon him, and he will join in the prophesying and be turned into another man. That is, that he will become another man in that he will be strengthened, just similar to Samson. As Samson, think back to Judges, Samson, the Spirit came upon him to strengthen him to do what he needed to do, to judge. And in the same way here, Saul is going to be strengthened by this Spirit to rule over Israel. Verse 9 confirms that all these things came about. These signs should show Saul that he has the Lord's authorization for kingship and his presence to carry on the demands of what it means to be a king of Israel. And so in this we need to remember that Yahweh's, that King Saul, who is promised Yahweh's power, is to submit to the prophet Samuel because he brings Yahweh's word. You see at the end of verse 8. He says, "I will show you what you should do," Samuel says. He has the word of the Lord, right? And because Yahweh's Spirit gives power to Samuel, or Saul, but that power is to be exercised in obedience to Yahweh's word, is what he's saying. And so, and that we can apply that in the same in our lives. The Spirit comes upon us, it regenerates our hearts, and it's still with us, but that is never to be separated from the Word. The Word is always to guide what we are to do, even with the Spirit working in us. And so, the Spirit and the Word must never be separated. A third thing is equipment. Now, Saul has been equipped with power, the power of the Holy Spirit, to strengthen him to act and live as a king to God's people. Verse 11 shows us that he truly is a different kind of person. He's another man. That even those who knew him, who saw him, were then confused. They didn't recognize him. They were wondering, how could this be Saul? Like, he was another man. He was different. He is strengthened. He was even prophesying. And they marvel at this new happening. And here's Yahweh as our same Lord who constantly defies human expectations. Here he is doing the same to these people who knew Saul. And even when he says that one of the men in verse 12, he says, "Now, who is their father?" As in, isn't God, the Lord, his father? And so even in Saul, this humble, what is a humble, lowly man, because he's from Benjamin, that tribe, which has been destroyed practically entirely in Judges, if you remember, because of that concubine of the Levite who died or was killed. And from that, the tribe of Benjamin was almost destroyed completely. Now here's a man from Benjamin that the Lord is raising up to be king, even from that lowliest of positions. And he equips even us. People who are lowly, we can think of ourselves as the most lowly people who are not in any way deserving of what the Lord gives us, and yet he gives us the Spirit and with power and strength. You think of yourself, perhaps many, at least in our congregation, are introverts. And so when it comes to evangelism, we would think to ourselves, we're the most unlikely people to bring the message because we're the introverts. Many of us are, and we're most unlikely to publicly evangelize. And yet has not Yahweh given us the Spirit and enabled us to do it and strengthened us to do it, even as he has regenerated our hearts, which is an impossible feat in itself. And yet he does it because all things are possible with him. And so no matter how unlikely in men's eyes or your own eyes, Yahweh is able to equip you for the task that he sets before you. All these things that you've seen in Ephesians, that he sets before you and commands you as a Christian to walk worthy of the calling. He equips you with his Spirit, and you are able to do it, just as with Saul here. And finally, the last thing is concealment. Really, only Samuel and Saul know what has happened. That Saul has been made king. He's been anointed. No one else knows the great things that have just happened, and yet that's often how Yahweh works. Oftentimes, we're the people who only see that the donkeys are lost. And yet, we don't understand what all the other goings on and of Yahweh's plan. So we should find encouragement here, knowing that Yahweh works often secretly. That even when you don't think and you can't see that he's working, he's always working. And that's what he shows us here as well. So there's some lessons about God's providence, assurance, equipment of the Holy Spirit, and concealment to encourage us even in times that we don't see God working. Let's think about that as we pray. Father, we do give you thanks for your works. We thank you for your works of providence, that you continually govern and all of what we do, all of our actions. And you continually work out your plan, even in a concealed way, oftentimes where we don't see every little thing that you're doing. Obviously, we don't see everything you're doing. We don't always see how people ended up to be where they are, or even how we ended up being where we were and receiving what we received from you. And yet, we know that you bring these things about by your plan. Why do certain things break? You know, and we have to go and repair them, and so we have to go and be in the company of other people so that they can repair them. It gives us great opportunity to evangelize, and yet we don't know why all these things happen. It could be for any number of reasons. Well, Father, we thank you that you give us assurance, not only as we look at the example with Saul here, that he gives us him three different signs that he would experience and therefore gain assurance that what had just happened in being anointed as king, that he would be made sure of that. And yet for us, you also give us assurance in that you continually work that fruit of the Spirit out within us. You continually confirm in us the gospel so that when we hear the gospel and we believe with every fiber of our being, we have assurance of our salvation. Because that's the promise. If you believe, you will be saved. And so, Father, we know that you give us assurance and comfort in the equipment that you give to us in your Holy Spirit, that you don't save us and then leave us to do whatever we should do, but you actually equip us and enable us to do and walk in a way that is holy and blameless like you call us to live. And you call us to believe the things that we are to believe. You equip us with the Spirit to give us ears to hear, give us hearts open to even in worship and enabling us to hear your word, even in our sinful minds and hearts. And so, Father, this evening, we ask that you would bless us continually with these things. Continue to show us your providences and how you're working things out in even little tiny ways, that we would be able to give thanks to you even more. My Father, that you would be with our government as here Israel is, the Lord is giving Israel a new government in some ways on earth, a human king. We think of our government and those ruling authorities over us all the way from our fathers and parents and elders and all the way up to our even in the civic realm, the state and the government, all these different authorities and their different spheres of influence, and we pray that you would save their souls, that you would bring about a man, a woman of God who would lead according to your word. We know that we've seen just in Genesis that you are judging our nation and the world and many different places every year. And yet we pray that you would withhold some of those greater judgments because there are some righteous here. I pray that we would have peace here, that we have freedom to worship you without threat of persecution. And we know that that's not necessarily your plan, but that's our prayer. We know that it might come about that we will be persecuted, just as other Christians throughout the world are persecuted and who have to go into churches underground and be secretive about their worship so that they won't be killed. Father, we do pray for them that you would strengthen them with your spirit and enable them to continue worshiping, that they would be able to bring the gospel to perhaps even leaders of that country. Now, Father, as we continue in our worship, those are our prayers, and we ask that you would answer them according to your will, because we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, and who is completely righteous, who is our Savior, and who is your Son. It's in his name we pray. Amen.